Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th and final round.
Right hand, Golovkin steps in and down he goes again. Unbelievable. Mayweather makes him pay. What a rookie mistake. A sensational left hook by De La Hoya.
It's facts. I'm the best. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to believe it myself, but it's the truth. I'm the best.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
From Southern California, this is the Last Round Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Last Round Podcast, episode 79, I believe. Right, Mike? As you can see, if you're watching our video broadcast here, we have one of the former pound-for-pound greats in the world for many years. He's been retired for quite a few years now, but the last several weeks, there's been a lot of talk, a lot of news reporting about his potential comeback. I believe he actually had a scheduled return in June, up until obviously this corona pandemic. But once again, I'm Danny Z with my co-host Michael Shepherd. Mike, how you doing today?
I'm good. You know, we got a little taste of some combat sports this weekend, so that was good.
Absolutely. So, as I mentioned, we have a very big guest here this week. The former middleweight champion of the world and one of the best pound for pound boxers in the world during his time, Sergio Martinez. ¿Cómo estamos, Sergio? ¿Cómo está?
Muy bien, encantado de saludarlos. Me encuentro muy contento, muy feliz pasando esta cuarentena, esta pandemia, pero muy bien, pasándola muy bien.
Great. So he's saying that he's very good, you know, during this quarantine time, he's doing good. Y Sergio, como no sabemos que usted está allá está en España ahorita o Argentina o en España?
En España, Madrid.
En Madrid. ¿Cómo está ahí las reglas y todo eso? ¿Cómo está su familia y todo eso?
Mi familia está en Argentina. Yo estoy en Madrid solo y estoy aquí. Está bastante estricto, bastante complicado todo en Madrid. Calculo que nos quedan un par de semanas todavía más de cuarentena.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in... de algo así tan estricto como hasta ahora.
Mm-hmm. So he's in Madrid, Spain. He's saying that the rules aren't as strict, but he thinks they're going to be relaxed in the coming weeks. But he's obviously in Madrid, Spain, training, and his family is back in Argentina. Sergio, pues ayer, ahorita antes que usted llegó con nosotros ahorita, el UFC tuvieron un evento ayer aquí en los Estados Unidos, en Florida. ¿Usted tenía chance para cacharlo, ese evento? ¿Qué pensó? Porque era el primer evento de pelear que no tenía fanáticos, nomás tenían los empleos. ¿Usted qué piensa como un profesional en el deporte?
Pienso que es necesario que ya comience a haber movimiento, a haber movimientos con respecto a los eventos deportivos. Es muy necesario, es vital, porque el mundo sigue moviéndose, sigue girando y hay que levantar la economía. Si no se puede con público, hay que hacerlo así, a puertas cerradas, pero tiene que haber competencia.
So he's saying that he feels it was a good move. The sports need to come back, especially fighting sports. You know, the economy just needs to pick up again, you know, with the economy taking these blows that it has during this pandemic, it just needs to come back. And, you know, he's glad that UFC was able to put on an event, even if it was without fans. Sergio, ¿usted sí es fanático de UFC y MMA?
No soy fanático de UFC ni de MMA, pero sí que soy fanático del deporte. Y, mm-hmm. y bien, no comprendo las reglas del MMA y del MMA y del UFC, pero sí que es algo que me parece emocionante. Creo que es un deporte muy... muy bueno, y está muy bien que la gente lo siga.
So he said he's not really a fan of like UFC per se, but he's a fan of the sport of MMA. He doesn't really understand the rules and stuff, but like I said, because it is a fighting sport, he is a fan of the you know, the spectacle. But you know, at the end of the day, he's a boxer, so he's more of a boxing fan. Mike, do you want to go? Do you have a question I can translate?
Just ask him about his postponed fight for June the 6th, and then obviously is a rematch coming up with Chavez Jr., hopefully.
So, at principio, Sergio, usted tenía una pelea en junio, el 6 de junio se me hace, ¿verdad? Pues yo lo que está pasando, queremos que cambiar la fecha. ¿Puede hablar de esa fecha y qué va a pasar en el futuro?
Y la fecha va a tener que moverse unos 2 meses y medio o 3 posterior al día en que se acabe la cuarentena. Cuando se acabe la cuarentena, tenemos que esperar unos 2 meses y medio o 3 para tener la velada de boxeo. Pero no puedo saber qué va a pasar en el futuro. Creo que es una incertidumbre que tenemos todos.
So he said it's going to obviously be postponed about 2 to 3 months ahead. But it was he was scheduled on the 6th of June. And you know that's pretty much the whole thing is that, you know, it was scheduled, but it has to be postponed because of everything that's happening. Sí, ya tenía un rival para esa fecha, ¿verdad?
Todavía no había rival. No se sabe con quién iba a boxear. Pero sí sabíamos que teníamos el 6 de junio. Teníamos que armar la velada completa. Pero mm-hmm. era cuestión de días nada más. La cuarentena frenó todo.
So he didn't have an opponent yet. I asked him if there was an opponent schedule. He said there was no opponent. There was just a date. But the important part is that he had a date, and the opponent obviously would have been, you know, the opponent would have came in regardless because the date was already there. Y la pelea, Sergio, iba a pasar en Madrid, ¿verdad? En España.
Sí, señor. Iba a ser aquí en Madrid. Seguramente iba a ser televisada, pero todavía lo único que faltaba saber era con quién iba a combatir. Faltaba el rival.
So he said it was in Madrid, Spain. It was going to be on TV in Spain, which is good. So he said the only thing he needed was an opponent to be across the ring from him. Mi compañero aquí, Sergio, también le quería preguntar. Usted se me hace que dio una entrevista donde habló de Julio César Chávez Jr. Chávez Jr. apenas peleó en diciembre con Daniel Jacobs. Yo no sé si cachó la pelea. Pero la pelea de diciembre con Jacobs, ¿usted qué pensó como un rival que peleó con Chávez Jr. antes?
Ya hizo buen combate Junior frente a Jacob. Se lo vio bien. Si bien el combate terminó de una forma muy extraña, pero Junior hizo buena pelea. Hasta que se acabó el combate, Junior estaba haciendo una gran pelea. E incluso creo que hasta podría estar ganando el combate.
So he said, I asked him about the Chavez Junior fight, Jacobs, if he caught it. He said he did watch it. And he mentions that he believes Chavez Jr. was winning the fight. He was fighting very good. And obviously the crazy outcome of what happened after, you know, was crazy. But he does believe that Chavez Jr. was fighting very well towards Jacobs. I mean, we were in the crowd and we thought he was putting on a pretty good fight. ¿Usted qué piensa? Porque ahorita nos dijo que piensa que Chavez Jr. sí estaba peleando bien en esa pelea, pero los fanáticos, yo sé que está viendo el evento, ustedes estaban tirando la soda, la cerveza, la comida, porque pensaron, pues como Chávez Jr. es mexicano y su papá, es la presión que porque el papá, la leyenda que es el papá de Julio César Chávez, que está cargando Chávez Jr.,
ese es el problema cuando comparamos a Chávez Jr. con su padre. Es un problema. Chávez Jr. es un buen boxeador, es un gran boxeador, es muy fuerte, pero tiene una carrera distinta porque tiene una vida distinta al de su padre, a la de su padre. Su padre fue uno de los más grandes boxeadores latinos de la historia y va a ser una carga para Chávez Jr. Pero la gente creo que es injusta. La gente es injusta cuando compara a Junior con su padre. No se pueden comparar. Son vidas distintas, diferentes. Son dos personas distintas y con dos historias diferentes y con personalidades diferentes.
So I asked him about Chávez Jr. if he thinks that obviously that Chávez Jr. lives in the shadow of his dad and if it's hurting his, you know, especially from that fight in December, all the fans kind of throwing food and beer and soda into the ring. And if he feels that the pressure of the dad being a legend affects him. And Sergio said that, he believes that Chávez Jr. is a great fighter, regardless of what people say. But his career is always going to be followed by his dad's pretty much career. So which is unfortunate, you know, for him, but you know, it is what it is. It happens. But he does reiterate that Chavez Jr. is a good fighter, regardless if his dad was one of the greatest Mexican fighters of all time. Mike, do you got another question?
Ask him how his knee is currently, and has the time away from, you know, obviously from combat sports, has that helped it heal, or is there something in particular that he's done to help his knee for his comeback?
So la última vez que lo vimos en el cuadrilátero, Sergio, usted estaba peleando con Miguel Cotto en Nueva York. Y pues todos saben cuando viendo la pelea que su pierna estaba afectada. ¿Cómo sigue de la pierna de ese momento cuando peleó con Miguel Cotto?
La verdad que estoy mucho mejor. Estoy recuperado totalmente con respecto a las bacterias que tenía, que eran una infección en mi rodilla posterior a la segunda operación que tuve. Tuve tres operaciones en mi rodilla y la segunda se infectó. Las bacterias que se introdujeron en ese momento en mi rodilla ya están muertas. Entonces, a partir de ahí pude empezar a entrenar para fortalecer mi pierna. Y hoy estoy muchísimo mejor.
¿Tres operaciones o dos?
En mi pierna, en total, tres. En la segunda operación se me infectó la rodilla. Se me infectó y me hizo mucho daño.
So he's saying that his leg is perfectly fine now. He's recovered. He did have three operations on it over that time. And he did get an infection in the second operation, which was a little scary, but he recovered, thankfully. And his leg is 100%, ¿verdad? Con la, ¿verdad? So his leg is 100%. So he said he's good. He's good to go. You have another question, Mike?
Yeah, just ask him, you know, obviously coming back in his 40s, you know, similar to like, you know, Hopkins and Foreman, who were successful in their 40s. What exactly is his goal? Is it just to come back, you know, fight Chavez, fight some more names, maybe, you know, Maidana, Manny Pacquiao, Canelo? Or is it just to come back, have one fight and then, you know, go back? Because obviously, is it just because he didn't want to retire on a loss like he did to Cotto?
Lo que está preguntando mi compañero Sergio es que... pues regresando en el deporte de boxeo en sus 40s, pues usted sabe con la edad es poquito más difícil. Y usted me hace que usted ya tiene 44, ¿verdad? 45. Y pues mi compañero lo que está preguntando es que qué exactamente quiere hacer en el deporte en esta segunda vez. Regresando, quiere pelear con Chavez Jr., se quiere meter como promotor después de unas dos peleas, tres peleas. ¿Qué exactamente quiere ser usted?
Yo ya soy promotor desde hace unos seis o siete años. Eso ya es algo que, digamos, ya lo estoy haciendo. Manejo varios boxeadores aquí en España. Pero después quisiera disfrutar como no pude haber disfrutado en mis últimos años de carrera. En lo próximo que tengo para hacer de boxeo, lo que quiero hacer es disfrutar todos los días como no lo pude haber disfrutado en los últimos tres años de carrera, que fue en combate contra Chávez, el combate contra Marty Murray y contra Miguel Cotto.
Exactamente, ¿qué disfrutar cómo, Sergio?
Disfrutar todos los días de un buen entrenamiento, disfrutar todos los días de un buen equipo, de un buen grupo humano. Es eso lo que quiero disfrutar.
Okay.
Más allá del combate, si llego a pelear o no, si gano o no gano, más allá de eso, lo que quiero es, antes del combate, antes de combatir, quisiera poder disfrutar ese trayecto que se hace de preparación y de concentración.
So he said he's obviously been a promoter for a long time. Obviously, we know he's got the Maravilla Box Promotions, and he promotes a lot of fighters in Spain. He has a lot of fighters under his promotional banner over there. But he said the primary thing that he does want to do when he returns is he wants to be able to enjoy his career, because he says the last few years of his career, he didn't feel like he enjoyed that's why I asked him to kind of add a little bit more detail to it, because I wanted to say what he meant by that, by what enjoy, and he meant that he wants to enjoy like the training camp, the team he has, pretty much the lead up to the fight. Obviously, he's going to have the fights, but he wants to enjoy everything that comes around with it, if that makes sense, Mike.
Does he regret now going into the fight with Cotto? Because I think we all knew going in that he had trouble with his knee.
So, cuando iba a pelear, o cuando peleó con Cotto, Miguel Cotto, Sergio, ¿usted piensa que si usted no le afectó la rodilla, la pierna, que usted podía salir el ganador?
No, la verdad que eso no lo sé. Miguel Cotto es un gran campeón y no puedo quitarle mérito a él tampoco. Creo que él hizo las cosas bien y si yo hubiese estado mejor de mi cuerpo, no sabría decirte qué es lo que hubiese pasado. No sabría hacerlo.
So he said he's not. He said even if his leg was 100% before the fight, he said Miguel Cotto is such a great fighter already that, you know, it's possible he still could have lost. But obviously it would have been maybe a more competitive fight. But he said that Miguel Cotto is obviously one of the greatest fighters in that era, and he's a competitor. So it still would have been a competitive fight, and he said it still would have been back and forth. So he doesn't really want to say that he would have won even if he was 100% healthy.
Has he seen the interview with Oscar talking about, obviously, Sergio and the chance, obviously, if he comes back, has a warm-up, fights Chavez, that could lead to Canelo?
So, Sergio, Oscar de la Hoya, el jefe de Golden Boy Promotions, hizo una entrevista en enero de este año con Ring TV. Y la entrevistadora le preguntó de usted, porque se me hace que en el mes de enero estaban hablando que de usted iba a regresar en junio y sus peleas y todo eso. En la entrevista le preguntaron de su opinión de Sergio Martínez. Y él dijo que pues está contento que si usted regresa y que a lo mejor si en unas dos peleas, tres peleas, si regresa usted, a lo mejor hay una pelea con Canelo Álvarez. ¿Usted qué piensa de lo que dijo Oscar de la Hoya?
Hoy para mí hablar de Canelo Álvarez sería descabellado, pero tendría que dejar pasar yo dos peleas, o sea, tendría que hacer yo bien dos peleas para después poder empezar a pensar. Porque por el momento creo que no es coherente que yo me ponga a pensar. Creo que primero tengo que pensar en mi primer paso. Mi primer paso es hacer un combate. Hace 6 años que no boxeo, 6 años que no recibo golpes. Así que primero eso. Primero quiero hacer mi primer pelea, mi primera. Una vez que pase la primera, haré la segunda y después sería estupendo. Pero tengo que boxear bien, tengo que defenderme bien, tengo que hacer las cosas bien.
So he said, you know, it's obviously flattering, but like he wants to be able to at least fight at least two fights and then be able to judge how his body reacts and how he does. Because, you know, obviously Canelo is a great fighter. He's one of the best in the world. But he said he doesn't really want to give too much information on that because he doesn't know how his body would react after the two fights. But he said that, you know, if after two fights, if he feels great, and he's back in fighting form and he feels healthy, and then, you know, obviously who wouldn't want to be open to a fight with Canelo Alvarez? Got another one, Mike?
What is Sergio's, at the moment, class as his greatest moment in his career so far? Because he's had, obviously, those, you know, fight of the year contenders and winners against Kelly Pavlik and two fights with Paul Williams.
So, Sergio, usted ha tenido peleas con Kelly Pavlik, los dos con Paul Williams, en toda su carrera. ¿Qué es el momento que le sale en la mente cuando le dicen, Sergio, ¿cuál momento es el más clásico de su carrera que lo hace lo más contento?
Creo que mi mejor performance fue frente a Sergei Sinciruk el 12 de marzo del año 2011. Y uno de los momentos más importantes de mi carrera fue probablemente en Inglaterra en el año 2003. In Manchester, in junio.
He said two moments that he had in his career that he was really proud of were two in 2003 in England. I believe he had fights there. He says those were, he didn't elaborate too much on it, but those were really big. And he said he had another fight in 2011 with JC, I forgot the last name. He said it right now. JC, let me look it up. I have it right here. J.C.
Jason Siruk.
Siruk, aquí está, sí.
Siruk.
Siruk.
From Ukraine, from Ukraine.
From Ukraine, por eso, sí, yes, sí. So 2011 against the Ukrainian fighter in 2011, he said that was a big moment for him. And then the two moments. And in 2003, de Inglaterra, eran dos peleas, ¿verdad?
Sí,
¿Y por qué en esos dos momentos en Inglaterra? ¿Eran los fanáticos o por qué?
No, porque gané mi primer campeonato internacional y para mí fue muy importante. No estaba pasando un buen momento y uh-huh. una semana antes yo estaba pidiendo para comer en una iglesia, entonces creo que fue importante para mí.
So he said the 2003 ones in England. I asked him why, what was the significance of the moments in England in 2003. Obviously they were fights. He said that, you know, at that time in his life he was going through a lot. The week before the fight, you know, he was eating food like at a church. You know, he didn't really have too much. He didn't really have too much in his life. And that was the first fight where he won his international championship. So that was a big moment for him, especially because what he was going through in his life. So I think that's a pretty cool answer. You got anything, Mike?
Yeah, can you ask him, doing the background information to find out about Sergio? I read a story about how when he was a teenager, he was robbed about 10 times. You know, they stole his wallet, his watch, his sandals, and there was even an incident on December the 31st, 1990, where they stole his bike. Could you just ask him about that?
Mi compañero está preguntando, Sergio, que cuando usted era chico, que lo robaron como unas 10 veces y también que en diciembre del 1990, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Le robaron algo, una bicicleta o algo así que si puede hablar de esos momentos en su vida, usted.
Fueron quizás unos momentos muy tristes de mi vida porque estaba viviendo en un barrio muy peligroso, muy bajo. Viví 23 años, mis primeros 23 años. Y sí, me robaron más de 10 veces, muchas más. Y un 31 de diciembre, un año, una fecha de, ¿cómo se dice? Un fin de año.
Ajá.
Me robaron la bicicleta cuando yo tenía 15 o 16 años. Pero fue un momento feo que la verdad que no está bueno. Sí que lo recuerdo para no que no me vuelva a pasar. Mm-hmm. Pero sí que no fueron buenos momentos.
So he's saying obviously there were sad times in his life, and you know, he does acknowledge that he was robbed 10 times, and he said that his bike did get stolen, and it was like at the end of the year. It was obviously December 31st. So it was like an end of the year celebration or something. So he says that he doesn't forget those moments because obviously he doesn't want them to happen again. And, you know, they're engraved in his mind. But, you know, for the first 23 years of his life that he went through stuff like that. But luckily, you know, he's good now and he's made a good living. Yeah, another one, Mike?
Just to kind of to say to him, you know, that's to go from where he was then to, you know, being pound for pound world champion is just, you know, just one hell of a ride.
Está diciendo mi compañero Sergio que nomás que le da mucho respeto por llegar donde estaba en ese momento de su vida a llegar a ser uno de los mejores libra por libra en el deporte del boxeo. So le está dando las gracias en eso.
Muchísimas gracias, por favor, un placer.
Pero Sergio, regresando con Chávez Jr., ¿usted ha hablado con el equipo de Chávez Jr. o algo en negociaciones o no hay detalles en los planes que va a tener en el futuro?
Sí que hablamos, pero todavía hay mucha incertidumbre con esto de la pandemia.
Uh-huh.
No podemos todavía decir nada porque estamos esperando a que pase la pandemia para retomar contacto otra vez.
Uh-huh. ¿Usted ha hablado con Chávez Jr. directamente? ¿Usted?
También, sí, sí. Y
¿sí?
Quedamos, sí, sí, sí. Y dijimos en algún momento hacer un combate, hacer una revancha. Pero Junior es muy inestable también. Tiene una vida muy divertida. Y sí. Entonces tiene mucha inestabilidad. Nunca se sabe cuando dice algo coherente.
So I asked him if he's been in direct contact with Chavez Jr. and his team, and he said that he has been in direct contact with Chavez Jr. and his team, and they've talked about a rematch in the future. And then I asked him if he's actually spoken to Chavez Jr. directly, like him and Chavez Jr., and he said that, yeah, they have spoken directly and that Chavez Jr. is open to a secondary fight. And Sergio said he hopes it happens, but he did mention that Chavez Jr. is obviously, you know, unstable at times because of, you know, everything he posts on social media. So it just really depends on Chavez Jr. where he's at in his life at the moment. But he said they have talked directly, and they hope to finalize a fight in the future. Sergio, ahorita en el deporte, pues tenemos a los mejores libra por libra ahorita, o en el, pues usted cuando estaba peleando su carrera estaba en el peso medio, 160. Ahorita tenemos, al, como decimos, el Canelo Álvarez, el Gennady Golovkin, el Daniel Jacobs, el Derevchenko, el BJ Saunders. Depende, tenemos muchos ahorita. Usted, de todos esos, ¿qué piensa que, pues a lo mejor... Estamos hablando de Canelo, pero en el segundo lugar, ¿usted qué piensa que quién sigue atrás de Canelo? ¿Es el Jacobs, el Gennady Golovkin? ¿Qué piensa usted?
Creo que Saunders. Saunders es quien más me gusta. Pero es un gusto personal por el estilo boxístico que tiene. Uh-huh. Puede ganar cualquiera de ellos. Cualquiera le puede ganar a cualquiera. Incluso creo que Canelo puede ser mejor que todos. Pero para mí, para mi gusto, por el estilo boxístico, Billy Joe Saunders es el que más me gusta.
So I asked him, just so I can translate, I asked him what he thinks about the landscape of the middleweight division and stuff like that. You know, besides Canelo, who he thinks is the best middleweight in the world or in that weight class, he said BJ Saunders, Billy Joe Saunders. He thinks BJ Saunders' technical skills and everything is very good, that he thinks that even though he picks BJ Saunders as number two, that all those fighters can kind of intertwine and, you know, they can all beat each other at one point or another, but he does choose BJ Saunders as the number two middleweight in the world, at least within that classification.
Can you just ask him if there's any truth behind the boxing scene reported in April that he was going to be challenging Kerman Lahara? Is that how you pronounce it?
El April last year, right, Mike?
April 9th, 2020.
Oh, this year. So in April, hace un mes o poquito abajo de un mes, estamos reportando que usted se iba a enfrentar con
how do you say Kerman Lejarraga.
Lejarraga. Lejarraga. ¿Puede hablar de ese report, esas noticias? ¿Qué exactamente está pasando ahí?
Creo que eso fue una conversación con un amigo y que se transformó en una bola de nieve que fue agrandándose mucho. Creo que solamente fue eso. Igualmente, no puedo descartar enfrentarme a Kerman Lejarraga. No lo descarto. Podemos boxear, pero mm-hmm. por ahora es solo rumores.
So he said as a moment, it's just a rumor. He said that was just a conversation that he had had. They kind of took on a life of its own, and it just kind of spread. But he's not disrespecting him. He's saying that, you know, obviously that fight could happen, and he is open to it if it comes down to it. But he said that there was just like a conversation that was had, and it kind of took on a life of its own. But he said right now that's just a rumor.
Can you ask him? I don't think we've mentioned so far. When he does come back, what weight will it be at?
Cuando regresa, Sergio, ¿en qué peso va a regresar? ¿En 160, 68? ¿Qué está pensando?
Estoy pensando en 160. Igual no sabría decirte porque todavía hay mucha incertidumbre. No sabemos con quién voy a boxear. Pero yo estoy bien para volver en 160. Si tengo que ir a 168, tampoco tendría problemas.
¿Ahorita qué pesa ahorita, Sergio?
Ya, yeah. Y ahora estaré en 175 libras, más o menos.
Okay, so right now he's at... So he said the plan is to be at 160. He says he can make 160. I asked him what he's at currently right now. He said he's like around 175. But he said he can make... 160 fine, that he has no problem with that. Y en 168, si hay una pelea en 168, está
a lo mejor es una opción también ahí en ese peso.
Sí, también no lo puedo descartar porque tengo que ver qué rival también querría pelear conmigo, con quién iría a pelear. Va, o sea, ya no lo decido yo, también tengo que ver quién decide pelear conmigo.
Mm-hmm. So I asked him if he's also open to 168 pounds at super middleweight, and he said, of course, that he's open to that weight class. You know, it just depends on who would he want to fight. But the plan is to be at 160 in his return.
Obviously, with being the superstar name that he is, has there been any promoters that have reached out to him? And also, Matchroom Boxing has moved into Spain recently. Have they reached out to try and use him as a flagship for them?
Pues ya que las noticias han salido, Sergio, lo que está preguntando mi compañero es que no ha habido unos promotores como Top Rank, Golden Boy, que han hablado con usted o con su equipo. Y también estaba diciendo mi compañero que Eddie Hearn y Matchroom Boxing apenas entraron al país de España con The Zone, sí, y todo. Sí. ¿No han hablado con usted de negocios?
Todavía hablamos con Eddie Hearns, pero todavía es con respecto a los otros boxeadores que manejo. Con los boxeadores, digamos, que estoy manejando, Sergio García, John Fernández. Pero en cualquier momento seguramente hablaremos de mi carrera también.
So he's obviously said, reiterated that he has his own promotion company in Spain. He has fighters like Sergio Hernández, García, but he said that he has had initial talks with Eddie Hearn, but you know, nothing really crazy. But he does know that you know, obviously the Zone, Eddie Hearn, Matchroom Boxing is entering the Spain market. But right now Sergio's focused on his promotional company and his fighters at the moment. Another one, Mike.
Just I was going to ask him, obviously towards the end, you know, where did the stand-up comic come from outside of boxing?
Oh, I know we were talking about that. Sergio, me está diciendo mi compañero que usted también, how do you say comedian? También está en how do you say comedian?
Estoy
comediante también.
Stand-up comedy. Yeah.
Sí, stand-up comedy. Sí, sí. ¿En cómo empezó en eso usted?
Hace unos 5 años comencé a trabajar en esto, a actuar. Y muy contento. Está muy relacionado el stand-up con el boxeo. Está muy relacionado. Está me divierte mucho, lo paso muy bien.
Mm-hmm. ¿Y quién exactamente, como en los comediantes que tienen el mundo ahorita, usted cuáles videos ve que para educación?
Pues siempre me gustó, siempre, desde que yo era chico, Jerry Seinfeld. Pero aquí en España hay otro stand-upero, otro que hace stand-up que es, para mí es el mejor del mundo, que tiene un nombre muy difícil, que se llama Jovik Keuchkerian.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he said right now, he said his favorite comic, and he thinks he's the best in the world, even though he's over there from Spain, is Jovik Keuchkerian?
Yes. Yes.
¿Verdad? Okay. Sí. He said that he's a big fan of him right now, but he said growing up he was a big fan of Jerry Seinfeld. That Seinfeld was always one of his go-to guys.
So is that how he fell into it? Because just for admiring them.
Por eso usted empezó en esa carrera, Sergio, porque como Jerry Seinfeld y usted, yo puedo hacer eso. A mí me gusta pues sonreír y todo eso.
Sí, en realidad lo conocí en persona a Jovik. Y nos hicimos muy amigos y le dije que quería hacer algo como lo que él hace. Y bueno, él me ayudó mucho, él me ayudó y me enseñó mucho.
So the comedian he mentioned, Jovik, who's he said he's friends with him. He's, when he first met him, Sergio had explained to him his interest in stand-up comedy. So he obviously guided him and helped him and kind of gave him the confidence to do it. Sí, me estaba avisando mi compañero antes que hablamos con usted que usted estaba haciendo eso. Yo no supe de eso, pero no hay muchos como boxeadores profesionales que hacen eso. Pero no, usted conoce, hay otros deportistas que usted conoce que hacen eso también, como en el boxeo o
o algo?
Jovic fue campeón de peso pesado en España. Fue campeón de España.
Oh,
de
wow.
Jake LaMotta también lo fue. Fue hacia stand-up comedy. Uh-huh. Después no conozco ninguno más.
So Jake LaMotta, the legend Jake LaMotta.
Julio César Chávez Jr. cuando dice que va a ganarme también hace esto.
He said Jake LaMotta was a stand-up comic, and then also Jovic was also a world champion in boxing as well. And then he added, obviously, that Julio César Chávez Jr. Is also a stand-up comic, because he says that he's going to be able to beat Sergio Martinez in their rematch. So he feels that he's a stand-up comic as well.
Is there anything Sergio's not good at? He's a successful businessman. He's written books. He's also a stand-up comic, pound-for-pound world champion, and also had a great documentary, obviously named after himself, in Maravilla.
So está preguntando mi compañero Sergio que pues usted tiene sus negocios, era libra por libra peleador, boxeador en el deporte. ¿Hay algo que usted a lo mejor no le gusta hacer o que no tiene, cómo se dice, que no tiene como success?
Hay muchas cosas que no me gustan hacer, pero trato de hacer lo que me gusta. Escribo poesía, actúo en televisión, actúo en teatro, actúo en películas, hago stand-up comedy y boxeo también. Es decir, hago lo que me gusta.
Mm-hmm. So he's saying that there's a lot of things that he's not that great of, but like that's why he tries to focus on things that he likes to do and he's good at, you know, boxing, stand-up comedy and stuff like that. He tries to get himself as good as he can at those traits, you know, just like everybody does. Al momento, Sergio, cuando usted se retiró del boxeo, pues HBO todavía estaba en el negocio, y pues hace unos dos años, se salieron del boxeo. Cuando eso pasó, usted ya se salió del deporte, ya estaba retirado, pero cuando usted recibió las noticias de HBO que se iban a salir del negocio, ¿qué pensó usted?
Muy triste, porque HBO es parte de la historia del boxeo, parte grande de lo mejor del boxeo mundial. Muy triste.
So I asked him about HBO Boxing. You know, obviously he was... I think we lost him for a second, but you know, I'll translate that answer. But I asked him about HBO Boxing for a second, and because he fought on HBO so many times, what he thought about them leaving the business, because it was such a big moment in boxing for boxing fans in general. And he said that, you know, it was obviously a sad time. I asked him when he first heard the news, and he's like, yeah, when I first heard the news that it was going to happen, you know, that he was very sad about it, because HBO's been such a staple in the sport of boxing. So, you know, I always like to ask that question, because like HBO was such a staple in the pay-per-view business and everything. But I think we had some connections problems with him right now, so hopefully he jumps back on. But you know, if he's not able to come back on, you know, we had him for a good almost 40 minutes. And you know, one of the best fighters of the last, you know, 10, 12 years, wouldn't you say, Mike?
Yeah, he's just one of my favorites at the time, you know, when he was coming up with those great fights with Kelly Pavlik and Paul Williams twice. And obviously has that, you know, knockout that I think everybody realizes that was knockout of the year, I think, in 2010 over Paul Williams. So it'd definitely be interesting to see if when he comes back, you know, how much he has left in the tank. So, you know, right. I think fights against someone like Chavez, you know, could be, you know, stylistically quite good for him. You know, Chavez obviously doesn't live the life properly, so he'd be kind of somebody that I think Maravilla would have a good chance of beating.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, like I said, I was really surprised that he's actually had talks with Chavez Jr. You know, I expected talks with, like, the teams, maybe the PR teams or, you know, the teams behind each of them, but he said that he's talked to Chavez Jr. directly. They've talked on the phone, and they're both open to the fight. So I think that's interesting. Honestly, I could see it happening, especially after Chavez Jr. You know,
with the Jacobs fiasco. And you know, it maybe they can make maybe another decent payday. They probably won't. They probably won't make right now the money that they made back in 2012 or 2013 when they fought. But you know,
it sells. It sells.
Yeah, it sells. And I think people will be intrigued, especially after if Sergio Martinez is able to come back and look pretty decent in two, maybe three fights, and Chavez Jr. maybe one fight, two fights as well. I mean, Chavez. It feels like Chavez Jr. always able to come back and find his way back in, right?
Yeah, you know, Eddie Hearn told us, you know, the spectacle that we were at in Arizona, it's all, the crowd was very loud, you know, great atmosphere. You know, he still attracts people. So, you know, Sergio Martinez also has a good fan base. So if you're a promoter, it's kind of win-win.
Right, right. Yeah. And then, you know, that interview we did with Eddie Hearn, if you guys want to listen to it, it's a really good interview. We talked to him for about 45 minutes. It was the morning after the Daniel Jacobs fight and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. in Phoenix, Arizona on DAZN. We talked to him right there in the hotel lobby. And that's, if you go back in our episode list with Eddie Hearn, that's a good one to listen to if you guys want to hear about it. But you're right. He does touch on that Chavez Jr. I think he mentions once, I don't know if don't quote me verbatim, but Eddie Hearn, if you remember, Mike, how he says that he was standing there and he was seeing the crowd react when Chavez came out and when he was being announced, and he was kind of looking around. He was like, this kid's a star, like pretty much saying, like, I can make some money with him, especially if he wins. And then he said how surprised he was that when Chavez Jr. was, because, I mean, regardless of, you know, what you feel about the kid, like, he wasn't doing that bad when he was fighting Jacobs. He was actually coming forward. He was, you know, using his body. He might have been winning some rounds. You know, I think when we were on the ringside right there, we had him winning a couple rounds. I was like, hey, you know what? I think he took that round. And you mean you mentioned, you know, like people follow him. Maybe it obviously maybe has a lot to do with his dad, the legend that is his dad, Julio Cesar Chavez. How in Spanish it's El Gran Campeón, but you know. I could see it. You're right. Like, people will be intrigued to watch it, especially if Sergio Martinez comes back for one or two fights and looks good, and then gets Chavez in the ring again. I think it'd be crazy, man. I mean, where would you see that happening, Mike? Would you see DAZN trying to pick that up, or maybe like a PBC card? What do you think? I mean,
I think DAZN. I think, you know, they want the eyes, they want the Chavez fans, they want the Sergio Martinez fans. And also, you know, if Eddie Hearn can strike a deal with Martinez, then he could use him on the, you know, Matchroom Box in Spain, which has opened up, you know, because obviously I'm sure he's huge over there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's going to attract fans in that region as well to DAZN. So it's, you know, kind of, you know, win-win for Eddie. You know, he gets that fight and then a few other ones over in Spain. So,
right, right. But, you know, I know we talked about the UFC card at the beginning, you know, and if, you know, we're sorry to our boxing hardcore fans. You know, I know this isn't an MMA podcast, but, you know, just because it is a combat sport and it is a first, pretty much one of the first major sports to go on. And it is first major sport to go on during this pandemic, especially it's good that it's a fighting sport. So it kind of gives boxing a better measuring stick. You know, I forgot to ask him, but I know we talked about it before, but, you know, I think we should just touch on it, how one of the UFC fighters, because they did all the testing for the staff and the fighters leading up to the fight yesterday in Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, for UFC. One of the fighters who was scheduled to be on the card tested positive for COVID-19. I mean, what's your initial reaction on the whole event, Mike? And do you think it still should have went on? What do you think?
I thought the event was good. You know, I like both sports. I like boxing. I like MMA. I thought the card was good from top to bottom. It actually went forward for me better than I thought, because I thought without the crowd, you know, it would be kind of, there would be no atmosphere there, but you could actually hear the punches. You could hear the kicks. You could hear, you know, the impact of them. So it kind of sold it a little bit more to me, to be honest, which kind of surprised me. I think if long as it was Jacare that tested positive, if nobody else at the event, you know, catches it from him, or, you know, tests positive down the line, and it was solely contained just to him, I think, you know, that's fine. You know, he got it, you know, they took him away, his fight didn't happen, stuff like that. But if it looks like he maybe contaminated other people, you know, and they get sick further down the line, then that's where it kind of, you know, is on, really, should they have put the event on. But selfishly, as a fan, I enjoyed it.
Right, right. Yeah, I enjoyed it too. And then, like you mentioned before we came on the air, the card was good in terms of competitiveness and action. It was good from top to bottom, you know, especially the co-main and the main event.
Tony Ferguson should be a boxer with that chin. The amount of the amount of abuse he took, you know, from the punches and never went down. He should be a boxer.
Right, right, yeah, yeah. You're right. He took some nasty shots that I was just like, man. But there was a lot of I saw a lot of boxing Twitter watching it, tweeting about it, posting on social media. You know, there was nothing else on, and it was a combat sport. So, I know guys like Tom Loeffler tweeted about like congratulating Dana White and stuff like that. You know. And then there were some people, obviously, who were against, like, protesting the event, saying it shouldn't have went on, especially after the positive test. You know, it was a tough situation to be in, regardless. Regardless, you know, because there was always going to be some backlash, especially when I first got the alert that the UFC fight, oh, was it Jacare?
Jacare, yeah,
Jacare. Tested positive for COVID-19, and then people started posting videos and pictures of like Dana White, like giving him like a knuckle bump, and then touching other people, hugging other people, and like stuff like that. You know, people started following the chain. Like, okay, who touched here? Like I knew it was like, oh man, people are gonna go crazy. So I mean, you know, it's unfortunate. I mean, like, but what if they test them and all these people, like, nobody else gets it? Like, what is that gonna say? Like, oh well, maybe. You know, maybe it's not going to be that great. I don't know. But like I said, it was a tough spot to be in for the UFC, but somebody had to take the leap first. And you know that every major executive from every major sport, especially in the United States, basketball, baseball, hockey, boxing, they were all watching that event yesterday, this past Saturday, actually, to see how it goes off, how they do it on TV without a crowd. But like you said, I think it was entertaining. It was a good, especially because it was a good card from top to bottom, and it worked out.
Yeah, and they're back again on Wednesday and then again on Saturday. So after this week, I think we'll have a better overview of, you know, how things are going to go forward. You know, I think De La Hoya has already said that, you know, he's got one penciled in for July the 4th out here in California with Ryan Garcia. So, you know, fingers crossed we can slowly but surely kind of get back to normality.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then I did see somebody on Twitter, boxing Twitter, tweet following the UFC event. They said that, you know, they were praising that even without a crowd, that it was still entertaining. The fights were still good, you know, especially because they dimmed the lights in the stands, so you can't really see. That it was still entertaining. That was a big worry for a lot of people. Like, okay, there's not going to be any crowd reaction. There's not going to be any pop, any cheers, any boos. And, you know, and some fighters work off of the crowd sometimes, you know. I mean, I'm sure a lot of fighters do. But somebody on boxing Twitter had mentioned that, you know, promoters are going to have to put on good cards, especially if they're nationally televised or on pay-per-view. They're going to have to put on competitive fights, or at least try to put on competitive fights, to be able to deliver without a crowd. Like on Saturday, like you said, Ferguson and Justin Gaethje, it was a great fight. Cejudo and Dominic Cruz, that was a great fight. Would it have been different if those fights weren't competitive, or if it was like the number 20th ranked guy versus the number one ranked guy? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think so. I think if they weren't so closely matched, you know, and they were all walkovers, we could have seen, you know, the whole event be over in like an hour, you know, right, something like that. But I think, I hope that they'd start doing, you know, the big fights. I think people are going to, you know, need to be paid and stuff like that, because you're going to have a lot of fighters that have had, like, you know, 6 months or maybe even longer, maybe even a year if the, you know, they didn't fight since last summer. So they're going to need to get paid, you know, so they're going to need those bigger purses, which obviously are going to come from the bigger fights. And are, you know, Matchroom, Golden Boy, Top Rank, etc., going to even be able to afford those big purses if they're going to be doing it, you know, behind closed doors? They're missing out on 5, 6, 7, 8 million in gates. So you know, people, some people are going to be in that position where they need to fight, and they're going to have to pretty much take who that gets offered to them. You know, the bigger names, your Canelo, your Anthony Joshua's, they're going to be later down the line because, you know, they earn life-changing amounts of money. They can, don't really need to fight as often, you know, and obviously, you know, like Eddie Hearn said, can they really, you know, lose a $10 million gate on somebody like something like an Anthony Joshua fight? So,
right.
Interesting times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, coming to the end here, wrapping up here, you know, we like to thank our guests, obviously, Sergio Martinez, Maravilla Martinez, for coming on the last round this week. It's unfortunate that he, you know, his connection kind of gave out here and we lost him for a little bit, but we had
next level interview. That was from Madrid, Spain.
He was calling from Madrid, Spain. So we had to, you know, we accommodated the time difference to work this out, you know, which is great. But like I said, our thanks to Sergio Martinez, one of the former best pound for pound fighters in the world. And like he said, he's, you know, he's looking to come back. He's had talks with Chavez Jr. Directly. And you know, whether you like it or you hate it, it's in talks and it might happen. So we'll see. I'll watch it. I know you'll watch it. You know, who cares? We're going to watch it. It's intrigued.
It's like you said, it's you like it or you hate it, you'll still watch it.
Exactly.
It's one of those fights.
Exactly. Exactly. But go ahead, Mike, tell our listeners where they can follow us.
At The Last Round 12 on Twitter and Instagram. And also you can find every episode we do now on Boxing Social's YouTube page.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, the video, obviously, if you're watching the video of this podcast, we appreciate it. But as Mike mentioned, we're available on pretty much every platform that you can listen to, watch his audio podcasting forms. The videos right here on the Z Boxing News channel. We're also with Boxing Social, their YouTube channel. We're on there, which we're grateful for that. For that partnership is awesome. But once again, our big thanks to Sergio Martinez all the way from Madrid, Spain. And tune in next week. We're not sure who we'll have next week. It might just be us, but you know, we're talking to a lot of different names. So hopefully this was a good surprise for all you guys in Sergio Martinez. But once again, oh yeah. And over here in the States, it is a Mother's Day week over here. So, you know, for all of our American listeners and our listeners from Mexico and Mexican American and everybody else who celebrates Mother's Day this week, happy Mother's Day from the Last Round team. So once again, I'm Danny Z. For my co-host, Michael Shepard, this is The Last Round.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is The Last Round Podcast.